Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with your responsibilities, and it seems like you'll never get it all done? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have but don't use all the time, and take advice and wisdom from one another. Towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to keep on being the well woman you are. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is how to change outcomes with non-traditional thinking, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to consider trying out methods that veer from traditional methods to find solutions to problems. Consider deeply listening to the voices of the people who are impacted by your decisions, and to trust your intuition instead of relying on the words of those around you. My guest today is Robin Brulé. She's a large systems service designer with a proven track record of mobilizing cross-sector partners to improve outcomes. She's the Senior Vice President of Nusenda Credit Union, and she's also the Chief Strategist for the Living Cities Initiative in Albuquerque, New Mexico, one of only four cities to be chosen for this initiative. She was named Professional of the Year by the National Association of Federal Credit Unions in 2014. In this episode, Robin and I talk about why it's so important to support local, how she's able to see the whole picture to develop a unique and non-traditional solution, why we must work from a grassroots and large-scale level to support your local economy, how Robin is able to make all this happen, and how she's able to care for her well-being while taking all of this on. The free giveaway today is Robin's free worksheet, Tips for Self-Care, which you can get at wellwomanlife.com/057show. I love this giveaway because it lays out concrete, easy steps to take to really start taking care of you. Now to my interview with Robin. I'm speaking with Robin Brulé here in her offices at Nusenda Credit Union. And as we heard in the introduction, Robin has quite a few hefty titles. And so she's a powerhouse in the community. And we'll hear a lot more about her and her life and what she's up to. Welcome to the program, Robin.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being asked to talk with you today.
Robin, I want to start by just understanding what you're working on. And you're working on a lot, I know. I mean, just in the couple of minutes that we talked before we hit record, I already have learned more things that you're working on. But what are you working on, and how does it impact women's lives?
Well, thank you for asking. And there are several different initiatives that I am working on that are critical to us in the community and tying it back on what it means to women. I think there are a lot of assets in our community that we potentially as a community don't take as advantage of as we could to really optimize economic well-being, holistic well-being for individuals, and in particular women. And one of those things is around economic success and opportunity for women, women being the economic drivers oftentimes for their families, and making sure that women are not only stable and moving into careers where they can really continue to grow, but also that they can continue to build assets from a financial perspective and an economic perspective. And so many of the initiatives I work on are cross-sector, cross-system initiatives on how do we utilize our assets better in the community to have a better economic trajectory for all people living in New Mexico.
Okay, there's a lot there. That's a lot. And so let's unpack that a little bit and tell me some, give me some specific examples of how you do that.
It's a good question, and there is a lot to unpack there. So we know in New Mexico, 70% of our population is working poor. What does that mean? It means that these are individuals that are working but need one or more types of support of government assistance to be able to be self-sufficient for their family and be able to actually grow economically. So how do we break that down? We need to look at the data. Why is there undereducation and underemployment? Are there not the kind of paying careers that we need here? Do people not have access to the resources they need to get into those careers? What are the barriers and what's stopping them? On a basic simplified level, it's literally doing a SWOT analysis of all the programs that are available and resources in our city to help people be economically self-sufficient through workforce and education, but also where are the gaps and the barriers? How do financial institutions and capital access play a part of that? And when somebody is not growing economically, what's stopping them? What's happening in their lives that don't allow them to not only become economically stable, but then build assets?
Okay. And I think this is so interesting because in the past, it's been government agencies that have taken on a lot of that work. And here we are, you work for a credit union and you're very involved in this. How does that work?
Well, it's a great point that you made because normally it's government who's coming up with a lot of the solutions, especially when it comes to some of our most daunting challenges, such as undereducation, underemployment, job creation, pay equity, income equality, income mobility. And why am I involved in it? Well, Nucenda being a local credit union dedicated to this community and really wanting to make sure that our members have availability to thrive economically, we know we can't do that in isolation. And in this day and age, the most resources that anybody has is actually through the government. When you think about how do we shift the way a system is working, how do we shift outcomes for individuals, we need to work more cohesively together and partner, which is called multi-sector support. So why does a credit union get involved in a city initiative or a partnership? It's because the needle's not going to move unless we're all comprehensively working on the same thing. And the private sector needs to be involved in this.
Yeah, and this makes me think of collective impact, the whole process of bringing different entities in private sector, public sector together to work on a common goal. Is that what you're up to?
That's exactly right. So there's three major themes. The first one is collective impact, which is really the rule of thumb for describing that, is there's no one leader or one system that has created the economic challenges that we're facing today, not only in New Mexico, but as a country. There's no one leader or one system that's going to be able to solve them. It can't happen overnight. There's no magic solution to this. So we have to all work together towards a common goal and give ourselves the time, resource allocation, and figuring out how we can all contribute to that larger goal. The second piece of collective impact work is capital innovation, which merely means we have a lot of resources, but how are we deploying them? What are the outcomes for those resources? Are they making an impact? At the end of the day, is anybody better off? Where can we really strengthen resources for programs that are working and move away from things that are not? And the last is public sector innovation, meaning that we really need policies that are working for the very people they're trying to serve and support, and where maybe our policies not as robust or as supportive as they could be. You know so much about this world, Giovanna, in your background. I think it's a lot like the healthcare system when you think about it. It's huge. in trying to tackle how to make a healthcare system run effectively and serve the needs of multiple people, the same thing happens in economic development.
Okay, and have you, do you have any results or outcomes that you can share in terms of the impact that you're making?
Well, what I can share is that our long-term goal is 10,000 newer induced jobs for four types of entrepreneurs, all based here locally. So we're not talking about recruiting new companies to come to New Mexico, although we're not saying that's a bad thing. We're looking at what assets do we actually have in our own community that we could deploy differently. The really important part about those 10,000 jobs is that we're asking for them to be at a livable wage. What does that mean? We want jobs that create self-sufficiency and asset mobility opportunities. The third thing is we have 180 stakeholders who are involved in this process. So all these stakeholders from educational systems, government agencies, nonprofit organizations, community groups, philanthropy, business are all coming together to look at how do we do this around four types of entrepreneurs, how do we set strategies and tactics, and how do we measure if what we're doing is working. We have started to see job growth, but this is a 10-year long process and we're in year three right now.
And so what are the four types of entrepreneurs? And can we get into that a little?
Sure, I'm glad you asked because everybody says, for jobs for who? What are our assets? So there are four types of entrepreneurs we have found specifically in our ecosystem. Again, this is asset-based. So what's already here that we can really create and strengthen versus trying to create something completely new? So the four types of entrepreneurs for a diversified economy are innovation-led. So that's high-tech, biotech, technology. When you think about the amazing research that's coming out of our educational sectors, especially the UNM and the Health Sciences Center, when you think about the assets to Sandia Laboratories and the Air Force Research Lab, we need to do a better job about taking our research to market, commercializing it, and creating jobs in our own community for that. So innovation-led is the first type of entrepreneur. The second is called second-stage companies. They're normally characterized with having employee bases of 10 to 99 and growing. So LaVou is a perfect example of a second-stage company, highly successful, homegrown company in New Mexico, growing. We don't want those kind of companies to go away from New Mexico when they get bigger or have somebody gobble them up and take them out of state. We want them to stay here and remain here and keep adding jobs. For a diversified economy, we need Main Streeters and micropreneurs and solopreneurs. So those two are the third and fourth. So Main Streeters, mom and pop shops, home-based organizations on Main Street, whether it's a restaurant or a coffee shop or a single accounting firm, something that's not tied to a national chain. We really need more of those kind of organizations in New Mexico and especially Albuquerque. The backbone of our economy is small business. And last but not least are solopreneurs or micropreneurs. So these are individuals who may not have a Main Street storefront, but they're running their own business. So they could be the creative economy. They could be very successful independent people, just like yourself, who's running a business and may not have multiple employees.
Okay. And how much of your effort is focused on women in these four areas of entrepreneurs?
A lot of our effort is focused on women because we know a lot about what happens when women have economic success. A lot of things start changing for our community economically. And when we look at how many women are actually in these fields, you'd actually be very proud. In New Mexico, we have a higher level of women-owned businesses than almost the rest of the nation, and they're successful. So that's great. But we need to do a better job at making sure that women are getting access to resources. So not only can they start businesses, but they can continue to grow them and thrive in them. So we are really trying to change the economic trajectory of our city, and that's a major focus on what you would normally consider to be non-traditional entrepreneurs. People of color and actually women are in that category too. So women are a major focus. What do they need to continue to grow their businesses, what may be different in their life where they don't feel like they're able to go to certain kinds of organizations to get access to support. Those are some of the questions we're asking.
Okay, and where can women or people in general find out more about what you're up to and also access the resources that you're putting together?
That's a really good question. We're actually in the process of rebranding ourselves right now, and we have a website, ABQLC, which is Albuquerque Living Cities, that they can get to. And we also are able to answer questions for people who are trying to navigate through the entrepreneurial ecosystem, because one of the things we discovered is we have a variety of resources here for entrepreneurs, but oftentimes they're not sequenced effectively. So I'm going to use the healthcare system again. You know, you have your primary care physician, you know, you have an emergency room, you know, you have specialists and an urgent care. If you're dealing with anything that's very comprehensive and you have to see a variety of doctors, oftentimes, even through the best intentions of the providers, it's really hard to navigate and know where to go when. The same things happen with entrepreneurs. They just don't know where to go, or they'll go into the wrong door, not needing that service, and maybe they don't get a warm handoff. So one of the things that we've been creating is something called a Navigator Program to assist entrepreneurs with the right resource at the right time.
Oh, that sounds cool. Robin, I also know that you have been very active up at the legislature this session. The New Mexico State Legislature is in session until March, and you've been very vocal there about supporting some legislation. Can you talk about that and sort of what you've been up to, but the personal reason behind it?
Yes, I'd be actually honored to talk about it because I think it's really important. But I would say that this is part of my personal life and it doesn't represent my organization from a professional perspective. Unfortunately, my family has experienced major heartbreak and tragedy. My 75-year-old mother was murdered last year while visiting a friend in Arizona. Two elderly women just drinking coffee. The house was broken into. They were robbed and they were murdered point blank at gunpoint. And it's devastated our lives. It's just really had us look at what can we do to hopefully maybe not have this happen to another human being again. And what I discovered through this process of my own grief and trying to understand was that there are a lot of different organizations and groups that are really trying to work on legislation on how you get access to a firearm. Now, I want to make it perfectly clear to individuals, we are not trying to take away Second Amendment rights. I know this can be a very passionate topic. It brings up a lot of emotions and feelings for people on both sides. What we're talking about is really closing the loopholes around how and who gets access to firearms. So, for example, if you are in New Mexico and you have to go get sinus medication, you need to show your license. There's a reason that legislation was put into place. The same thing here. There are loopholes that allow people with violent felonies, potentially in domestic violence situations where oftentimes a female partner has been threatened with her life, to get access to firearms without having to do any kind of paperwork or licensing around that. And the data shows that if you close these kind of loopholes, it actually cuts down on not only murders, but these type of shootings, and it actually makes our state safer.
Okay, and what is the bill number, and so that we can do an update? Well, we'll find out the bill number and put an update on the show notes for everybody after the fact. But Robin, how has this? You know, on the Well Woman show, we really talk about the whole woman. And so you were very clear that your activity up in Santa Fe at the legislature isn't part of your, you know, your paid job with Nusenda. But this is you as a whole person dealing with all of these things. And so how have you been taking care of yourself to be able to you know, not only run the show on all these projects that you just talked about, but also now be a leader, you know, on this legislation and just, and then dealing with it all emotionally still. Do you, can you address that?
Thank you for asking. It seems sometimes insurmountable, especially around the private side of everything that I'm dealing with right now. But grief is a very powerful emotion, and I wanted to put my grief into action. And so as far as holistic care for myself, I realized that we are already stressed out, especially if we're one of these overachieving women, and we're all women are overachievers, right? How do you balance a career and a potential marriage or partner, children, trying to take care of yourself and all of that? It sometimes seems a bit overwhelming. Then you add in an experience like we've just experienced with my mom, a major trauma. And I thought, if now is not the time to really, really, really take care of myself and pay attention to what that means, it'll be never. So I turned my grief into action. And that's why I go up and lobby, because I'm going to be sad no matter what. I might as well use the power beyond my tears and my grief to try to have some change happen in the world. And at this time in my life, the number one thing for me is what I call radical self-care. So what does that mean? I really need to give myself the permission to take care of myself holistically and focus on me, because I'm never going to be able to do all of these things unless I'm healthy from a mental perspective, a physical perspective, emotional, psychological, and spiritual.
Okay, and we'll get into some of those details in just a minute, because we're going to move into the segment called Superpowers for Success. And so I just want to remind listeners, I'm talking to Robin Brulé today, who is the Senior Vice President of Community Relations at Nusendo Credit Union, and also the Senior Strategist for Living Cities, which is an initiative that is focused on homegrown job creation and economic mobility. And it's one of only four cities in the country to receive this funding for this initiative. So we are very happy that you are working on that. And Robin, we're moving into the Superpowers for Success segment. So I want to ask you a few quick round of questions. The first one is, what does success in life mean for you?
You want a round of questions that are quick, and success in life means to me a lot of different things. But at its simplest core, I would say bliss. Feeling complete and total bliss that your life has a lot of joy, love, and that you lived every second of it like you wanted to.
Okay. And when did you know, Robin, that you were really good at what you do?
That's a hard question to answer, especially I think for women, because we always talk in the collective we versus the I. So I would say that I really knew I was good at what I did when the we in the systems I were working for started to change and shift to have better outcomes for kids and families.
And can you give an example? Like what specifically happened?
So my background is in large-scale system design, and everybody says, what does that mean? And really what it means is that I look at government systems, how they're operating, how our tax dollars are being used, especially in what we call social service systems, and the outcomes for kids and families. And we may all be very well-intentioned. It doesn't mean that the impact is actually happening in a family's life or a child's life. So for me, what success looks like is really retooling those programs and having measurably better outcomes and results with less spend.
Yeah. And was it in your current job that you sort of came to that realization, like, oh, I'm pretty good at this? Or was it kind of like a few jobs ago? Or can you remember like a specific time when you thought, oh, you know what? I'm really good at what I do.
I think it was actually a few jobs ago. I have, if you've taken like Myers-Briggs or any kind of other personality tests, I tend to have a personality that says I can see large systems and the multiple pieces that are oftentimes fragmented and putting them together in a different, unique way. And when I it was several years ago. I was actually working at one of our, at our largest educational institution that has supported a lot of low-income working families. And when we looked at educational achievement rates, why weren't these students persisting? And I really started figuring out we need to start looking at what we know and start thinking about what we don't know and actually going to the end user and asking what they need. So sometimes whole system change calls for doing things incredibly differently that you don't think is actually aligned with the work that you're doing.
That's really hard to get people on board to want to do something really different, right? And so that's where all your leadership skill comes in.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I think that's one of the lessons learned, especially for women. As a young woman, I really thought, here are some really good, positive ideas. We have data to back this up. We're all searching for better outcomes for the work we do. And I wasn't able to get everybody to agree. And one of the life lessons for me is that sometimes, and most times, not everybody is going to agree. So how do you keep pressing through on something that you know or you believe or you've seen through the data that will have better outcomes, and know that you're always going to have critics? Always going to have critics.
That's just a given, right? Robin, describe a personal habit that contributes to your well-being. And this could be around the radical self-care you talked about, but something specific that that you want to share.
I think it's really important. This one sounds really silly to people because we hear it all the time, but I'm going to tell you, keep hydrated. And I looked at it from a different way, especially with what happened to my mom. I did a lot of research, and families who have survived a major trauma or have a major trauma happening in their life, oftentimes many of the family members get ill because you're carrying so much stress, you're carrying so much grief. And I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to be ill over something that's already tragic. And yet I want to keep being an activist with my voice around this. So drinking water. Now, we all know we should stay hydrated, but I kind of flipped on what that means. Yes, we should stay hydrated, but water also cleanses our bodies. It removes those toxins. And so drinking water and thinking about it from a perspective of only not only nourishing your body, but helping it to remove and process the things that you don't want in it, including negative thoughts, really important.
Okay, that's a good one. What superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
Intuition, deep intuition about how certain things were working, what my perspective was on it from seeing things at a large scale, and also trying to come up with solutions that they were intuitively there. And I didn't trust myself at first around this.
That's a really good one. Robin, what advice would you give your 25-year-old self?
If I could go back and hug my 25-year-old self and tell her it was going to be okay, to not worry so much about what everybody thought about her, to really stand in with your convictions and know then again, hard work is hard work. And it doesn't mean everybody's going to agree with you. It doesn't mean that even if you have the best solution to something, it's going to be easy. So I would say, don't try to impress people so much. Stick to your intuition and know that no matter how good of work you're doing, not everybody is always going to affirm that or agree with you.
Okay, two quick questions to wrap up here. Do you identify as a feminist?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that there's a lot of terminology, especially right now around feminism. But I think one of the best things around feminism or any kind of equal rights is, why are they yours to give? Why should you assume you have the right to give me anything? Don't we have the right to have it simply as human beings? And until that changes, yes, I'm a feminist.
Nice. What are you reading right now, Robin? What's on your nightstand?
I am reading a story called True Vine, which is actually a very sad but also empowering story about a mom living in the Jim Crow South, African-American mom living in the Jim Crow South, who had two albino boys who were stolen from her to be in the circus. and she worked as a sharecropper, very, very poor, and she never gave up hope on finding her boys and bringing them back, not only because women were not appreciated and given voice during this era, but especially women of color had very little power, and she managed to find them and bring them home.
Okay, we'll link to that in the show notes to that book. Robin, it's been such a pleasure talking with you today.
I really appreciate everything you're doing, Giovanna, to inspire women and to help them consistently know that they're valued, that where our voices are important and our work is absolutely needed even more so than ever. So thanks for having me.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Robin Brulé, who's the Senior Vice President of Community Relations at the Nusenda Credit Union and Chief Strategist for Albuquerque's Living Cities Initiative, one of only four cities in the country to get this initiative. I spoke with Robin about the importance of listening to your intuition, how to push forward through criticism, why we need to foster support from all aspects of life if we want a community to succeed, and how to maintain well-being in a busy life. You can get the freebie, Robin's Tips for Self-Care, at wellwomanlife.com/057show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings women together to share our successes and challenges. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one yet in your city and you want to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes and leave a review. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/wellwomanlifecommunity. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you're listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.